Vayitena Moshe kechalaso daber ito. The very first pasuk in Sheni, the very last pasuk in Perek Vav Aleph. I'm sure you'll know that Rishon and Sheni are incredibly long. So you notice that over the course of Shabbos. I think most of the parsha appears in the first two aliyos, and that's an old minhag to ensure that we don't want to embarrass. We don't want to embarrass the non. Those are not members of Sheikh Levi. Those are not Levim. By having them read the parsha of the ego. And so Kohen and Levi are each 40 some odd psukim. And the rest of the aliyahs, as you notice over Shabbos, are like yontif leaning length. 5 psukim, 7 psukim, 9 psukim, left turn length. The very first pasuk of the second list. This is really the beginning of the story of the Chetah Eva. And the preceding psukim, the end of Rishon, Rishon Reisvah on Shabbos, that we spoke about when we had the phone shiur last week on our snow day. Those are the presentation of Shabbos that appears in Kisisa with a focus on the Os. I think last week we spoke about the first Torah points out the Torah says more than once that the Shabbos is an Os. Even Ezra has a discussion in Pasuk Yud-Zayin. What does it mean that Shabbos is an Os? He points out there were those that got one who understood Shabbos. Os means Milas and Os, Shabbos Os. The other one it means it's an indicator that you are Jewish. That's what they quotes Madon. You find someone who has a Jewish style bris milah as opposed to an Arabic style bris milah, milah priya, you know he's Jewish. You see if someone who's not working on Saturday, you know he's Jewish. If the man says, no, I don't think that's what it means, it doesn't mean to indicate that you're Jewish. It means it's a zecher to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Okay, but let's turn our attention from the end of Rishon to the beginning of Sheni. They take a Moshe Kechal HaSol that very tone. Yibon Hashem just literally translating the pasuk. There's an Ibn Ezra in this pasuk. I usually learn Rabban, but someone shared me over Shabbos. Revolver writes that Ibn Ezra in the first pasuk in Sheni, Parsha Kisisa, is basic reading for every Jew. And we will see in a couple moments if that is the case. Let's take a look at this pasuk. Our Chaim has a very important comment just on just reading the pasuk. And this again, this pasuk opens, sets the stage, I should say. It sets the stage for the entire story of the ego. This is the one positive pasuk. The second pasuk in Aliyah is that people see that Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming down. If he doesn't come down, then that gets this whole very negative dynamic going. What's the? But the first pasuk is beautiful and positive. Everything's going well. He gave to Moshe when he finished speaking to him. Har Sinai. The two tablets, the two luchos. Luchos Evan, these luchos are made out of stone. Kesuvim be'etzba elokim. Written, as it were, with the finger of the Lord. What is that, Kasha?
Yeah. Maybe I can translate. Process
your
test.
Are you
starting with
your
design? Or like halfway
through. Did you have one side page?
Yeah.
So he gave to Moshe when he finished speaking to him the luchos, written with the finger of Ribbono Shel Olam. So anything you just strike in terms of partially like reading the pasuk, translating the pasuk, anything odd? That's Elokim. That's clearly an anthropomorphic metaphor, right? You're describing a Kadosh Baruch Hu in imperfectly describing a Kadosh Baruch Hu in human terms. Eitein el Moshe kechal asol daber ito. They look at the Arachayim, and they put Taf Shin Samach Tes. Taf Shin Samach Tes. If you were at the Chag HaSmicha yesterday, so one of the very special guests, they honored my father, they honored George Berman, and obviously they honored the 130 guys who got smicha. 18 of whom, I might add, of the 130 musmachim, 18 are MTA alumni. Max Tom, once again the largest group. wonder about feeder schools. MTA is the single largest feeder school to reach Smitha. That gives you a sense of the type of leadership among you and your chaver that might surprise you. I was looking around, like, we took a picture with the MTA alumni who were Musmacher yesterday. A couple of Nabeim were there. I looked around, like, what's the guy's Mashiach? She might have been our Shunai. It was our Shir. It was very, very special. A Shepherd of Nachas. And then they had a special guest, Rav Shlomo Amar, who was the Sfarad Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim, or maybe the Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim, and had been the term limit. He had been the Sfarad Chief Rabbi of the State of Israel. Very big Talmud Chacham. And he and my father were very close. So he came to the Kalagan Smicha, and he spoke. So he quoted the Ahayim in Tavriya. Gotta look it up. So here, take a look. Arachaim was a North African Sephardi Gadol of the 1700s. Arachaim ibn Attar. Take a look here. Pasuk Yud Ches. The fact that Chassidim referred to Arachaim as Arachaim HaKadosh. We might see them there four official HaKadoshes. Is there Rashi, who knows? Rashi HaKadosh? Shlo HaKadosh, good. Very good. Chassidish Shtalmir, who else? Arachaim HaKadosh and Ari HaKadosh. Yeah. Philly power. So our Chabad, that doesn't mean these were all Ashkenazim or Chassidim. None of them were Chassidim. They're all pre-Chassidim. Chassidim hold by them very much. Our Chaim was a Sephardi. Our Chaim lived in Northern Africa. I believe in Morocco. Not sure. But so he reads the Pasuk Yud Ches. So Chaladas and the Chaim like the Ramban is a very, very rich mix. Lots of different types of tools, lots of different types of genres, lots of different types of flavors. Like the Ramban, several centuries later, he was a Sephardi who was both incredible Baal Halacha and a Baal Kabbalah and a Parshanut, like a whole rich mix. And he said, I'll take a look at the Archaim and then that'll warm us up for the Ibn Ezra. Right over here, Archaim says, number one, Lama Hifzik bin Zichron Hanesina was Zichron Dabar Hanitan, Behodah Sazman. I didn't even read that sentence. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a break, make a hefsek, between mentioning Zikr, mentioning the giving, and mentioning the thing which was given? What's the hefsek?
Vayitena Moshe.
Yeah. Right. I want to thank you on this glorious Monday for what you did yesterday. That's sort of awkward. I want to give you on this fine Monday morning this half-finished cup of something that was coming. So this is awkward. Even look at the trap. It's awkward. I mean, you could have started with the time. Or and he gave him the luchos when he was done speaking to him. But why the in between is so awkward? He gave him two luchos when they were done speaking. Oh, I love Hakim. We should say beforehand. In a positive. Saying, when he was done, this is what happened. That's problem number one. And then here's the interesting kasha number two. That first kasha number just saw the wording in the pasuk is awkward. And it makes you wonder whether there's something else going on. Because the simple reading of the pasuk just seems funny. And then he says, let's think about the token of the book. When does this happen? And this is the passage before this story, the eagle starts. So he goes, when does this happen? And it's it. The chalos is the very story. He's done speaking, the end of 40 days. Okay, Shmuel has been giving shir to Moshe Rabbeinu for 40 days. And Moshe has chazar shir. Right, so it says chazal, right? The idea that the breaks between the parsha, the paragraph breaks, are read up in parsha is bonnet. Because one of them shears Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe would sit in Chazar, like we did this week, and Chazar the parrot, and then go on to the next, and then Chazar, break the Chazar, go on, break the Chazar, go on, break the Chazar. So this is the end of all the Shurim, the end of 40 days of divine Shurim. So that's when he gives him the Luchos. So our times of, think about it, besides the fact that the presentation in the Pasuk is strange, the concept is strange. That's when he gave him the Luchos. Why? What's Vashtet of Luchas?
What look is that right? Only Yesh Lahayah. Another point he made. Lama Yircha Hashem. There seems a look as that's manzeh. Why are going to wait till the end of the 40 days to give Moshe Ben Luch? Kevin Shlahayah Behem El Aseres Adarim. All it contained was Aseres Adibros, or as he puts it, using the language of Chumash, Aseres Adarim. Yomat and Torah, Ola Macharasa, El Aseres Aluchas. And Moshe Ben comes up that day. He should give it to him right away. The next day. He had taught him all that already. There were other things that Kadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu. That Aseres Adibros he knew already. So why was it only at the end of the 40 days that he finally gets Aseres Adibros?
Now the truth is, there's another parallel question to be asked. His answer may not answer this question too. But just like at the end, it's only at the end of 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu gets the written luchos.
It's only Gemara has a machlokes. We spoke about this before. Kitav Samach, Sanhedrin Samach,
put the pieces together. But the Gemara has an opinion that it's only at the end of the 40 days, 40 years, that Moshe Rabbeinu actually has a written Sefer Torah. The question whether Megillah Nitna or Chasuma Nitna. Was Torah Bil Torah Shebichsav been written down piece by piece throughout the 40 years? Or was everything only Baal Peh until the very end? It's only at the very, very end, described in the Chumash Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu had said anything. They say Chasuma Nitna, also interesting, because both teach Moshe Rabbeinu. And then it's only at the very, very end of 40 years anything's written down. So here, in perhaps, and the name may not actually be connected, you have to see, but certainly parallel, and then not years, but days, at the 40 days, Hashem finally gives Moshe the Luchos, but he had taught him the content of Luchos at the beginning. And they were proclaimed at Har Sinai. Mom and Har Sinai, Shavuos. This is Shavuos Batamas. This is what's going on here. Yeah, what he said.
Did you just say, like, unwieldy for him to, like, carry it around on top of the mountain?
Could be. Say, like at the dinner last night. At the dinner last night, there were machaved the 13 or 16 musmachim whose grandfathers are musmachim of reeds. Baruch Hashem, many grandfathers are still alive, some grandfathers are already very passed away.
That's like very, like
chutam shulosh. So some famous, some more famous, some less famous. So, but they called them up, and then they spoke about two of their grandsons spoke, and then Rabbi Penner, when he began introducing the next piece of the event, he said the grandsons and grandfathers can already begin making their way to the podium, to the stage, and then he spoke for a couple minutes, and because obviously it took Baruch Hashem, some of those grandfathers are not young, and it took them a few minutes just to get from point A to point B. So they had plaques to give them, but they didn't. He said at the end of the dinner, I didn't get the plaques before. We needed to take everyone just to get comfortable again. But I'll ask you a few minutes, the grandsons will come up to get the plaques. So you're saying, I was supposed to give Moshe Rabbeinu the ultimate plaque. I don't have to give it to you now. Right, before you go down, put it on the side. Before you go down, yeah, by the other hand, obviously there was incredible significance to the giving of the luchos. But why couldn't they do the giving sooner? And then we'll find the spot that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't running around Har Sinai. I don't know. It wasn't eating, it wasn't drinking, probably wasn't running around either. Probably it was in place. It could have been a place for it to be. I'm not sure. You say maybe it's a simple, practical point. Let's see. But then you have to wonder also, why the Torah bother telling me? In other words, the Torah went out of its way to say that the giving of the luchos was at the end of Shiva. Graduation, that's just right terminology. But at the end of the last day of the Zman, the ultimate Zman, Rabbeinu's on the Har Sinai 40 days. The last day, Akash Bel gives the luchos on the way out. So you're right, Ben, see, maybe it's just a practical point. It's a practical point. The Torah could have skipped this, Kechalo Sol Daberi. In other words, the Archaim is saying just to focus. That phrase is both awkward in terms of the writing, the language of the pasuk, like it's stuck in a funny place, and we're not really sure why Akash Bel would chose that fact to be true. And if it's true for a technical reason, it's true, and it's kind of profoundly true. It's something that the Torah is trying to tell us. And it's highlighted by the fact that it's in this sort of like awkward position. In the middle of telling me he gave me luchos, they stick in the middle, that the luchos were, you should know the luchos were given when Hashem finished here. Why? What is this telling me? Chen Yisbarer, here we are in the middle of that. Chen Yisbarer ha'in api de remzah. Our Chaim says, no, but if you look at what Chazal has to say about the luchos, maybe we can figure out the depth of what the Torah is driving at. Sha'amru shekol mitzvos halohim lebesof tocham shaaser zazah. That's actually the old machlokes, Rishonim, Gaonim, Ramban, Gaonim. There are those who suggest That's an issue I think we discussed in past weeks. What's the significance of Zeres HaDibur? There are Tarek mitzvahs. So what's Pshat? The Zeres HaDibur are the Tarek singled out to be seven Har Sinai. Some say this is like the Ger has a selection. You give him a selection of mitzvahs. Easy mitzvahs, hard mitzvahs. Now the Zeres HaDibur was the original Ger, so Kal Yisrael, a selection, mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kals, and mitzvahs. This is Hamurs. But the other approach is it wasn't just a selection, but these really contain within them the roots of all the Tariq mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs are rooted within the Aseres HaDibur. That's a Ramban, the Kisser Ramban, I think the second line of Kisser Ramban, and a list, it goes through all the mitzvahs, each Aseres HaDibur, and which of the Tariq mitzvahs are rooted in the first Dibur, so the Tariq mitzvahs in the second Dibur. All the mitzvahs. All the Aseres HaDibur, all the mitzvahs. Because if you take that approach, that fundamental approach, who are wrong? That's Pshat. When he gave to Moshe, when he was done teaching him all the mitzvahs. Madi Berito, what did he tell him? Bez Luchosa Edos. It's not just he gave him two stone tablets. He gave him the luchos, when he was done speaking with him, when he was done telling him the luchos, because all of the 40 days were essentially telling the luchos. All of the 40 days were unpacking with divine magnificence. Unpacking, so Aseres HaDibur, all the Tariq mitzvahs that are packed within Aseres HaDibur. Here's Gadvar Baluchos. And that's why he says, we already said that Aseres HaDibur is Har Sinai. Either Kadosh Baruch Hu said the book, Kadosh Baruch Hu said Tumah, Rashi says, and Moshe Rabbeinu recited the rest, pronounced the rest of Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever it is, Aseres HaDibur was said. But he's not going to give it to Moshe Rabbeinu, Achi Yigmar Rosh Hashanah, until we finish learning thoroughly Vashtet. When he gave the Luchas, he had already fully explained to Moshe Rabbeinu what these luchos mean. Not just don't do avodah zara, don't murder, and don't commit adultery, but all the layers of meaning, all the tariq mitzvahs that are contained within those aseres HaDibur. Lezeh gomar advarim hanirmazim bahem v'luchos ha'edus from the Son of Love, v'lo kodem. So he finished, he completed everything as Rav Amar said yesterday. All the Rimazin. Everything that's Nirmaz was taught. Bang. And our Chaim says, and now I just resolved both kashas which I started. Both the technical, textual question, whether if it just tells you the time that the activity took place, why is it stuck in between the verb and the object? And number two, why Taka did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait so long? Or in Ben Zion's corollary, why is it so fundamental that Kadosh Baruch Hu waited so long? Was it more than just a technical, practical, logistical, I'll give it to you when you're headed down, we'll leave in the coat room, so to speak, we'll have deal until then. Kifizeh ma'amar shnei luchos nimshach im kechalso daberito v'nimshach l'vayitein ha'omer b'tfilas ha'kas. And that's a grammatical point he makes, that the there are three clauses here. Vayitein, he gives it to him. Kechaloso daberito, and both of them continue into Shnei Luchos Ha'Evan. Almost like sometimes you have those logos where you have like two words that end the same way. So you have sort of like the beginning of the first word, the beginning of the second word, and then they end the same way, bigger. That's what's going on here. There are two different sentences. There are two different ways to read this. Vayitein Moshe Shnei Luchos Ha'Evan. But it's also, he gave him the luchos. But it's also, kechaloso daberi to shnei luchos ha'evan. When he was finished telling him the luchos. All of Torah, all the Tariq mitzvahs, all of everything that was going on Har Sinai was a telling of the Tariq mitzvahs. And that brings us straight into the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, this is an unusual genre for Ibn Ezra. And there's a lot of incredibly important hashkafa packed in this one Ibn Ezra. Pasuk Yudches, Vayitein, Reke Moach Yismu. He comes out guns a-blazing. Empty-brained people might have the following kasha. Okay, so by the way, you know, he's laying down where he stands right away. Because here is a silly question. Wow, okay, what's coming up? What was Moshe busy with? 40 days? 40 nights? Lo yadu. In Yamod. He says, 40 days, 40 nights? Just to learn after the Sasara. Different Tayag mitzvahs here. You need a whole 40 days, 40 nights? Mamish? 40 times 25. 480 hours? Reke Moach Yismu. Right? 480 hours after how much is a credit? A 3-credit course is 36 hours. Right. 12 hours per semester per credit. This is 40 credits, 480 hours. So Reike Moach Yisrael, what's there to learn already? You go through Chumash, you know some demon, Kitzur Zachonach. So even Ezra says, now again, this question to us appears already to be a little bit of a rhetorical device because it strikes us that there's, you know, a fair amount to learn in Torah. Even Ezra lays it out, and we'll see where he goes with it. And Yamod Shadei, people who ask this question realize, and again, the Reike Moach may be a reference to the Karaites. And Yamod Shadei Hashem, Kamisper Azeh, the Kefel Kiflo, Shonim. If he would have been there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and double, quadruple this number of years, you would be on Har Sinai for 160 years, 200 years. Lo Yuchal Adas Chelek Me'elev Mimaisa Hashem. Udrachav. The so-called Mr. Shetiba. You would not know 0.1%, one part in a thousand, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's actions, ways, and the secret of the deeper meaning of the mitzvahs. He says, you know why these people ask this question? And he says, it's very important. Ki yachshavu, these people think ki ha-maisa ikar. They think Judaism is all about is a religion. These people make the mistake of thinking that Judaism is a religion of deed, not creed. It's all about doing the right thing. God knows the deed. God knows Shulchan Aruch. A lot of Jews don't. So if it's all about the Maisa, so then you know Kitzur, you're good. They never know. That's totally false. Rakaliva v'amasa. It's all about to the Iker of Yadus. That goes on inside your heart together with the Maisa. The Ikar of Yadus is combining the Pnimius and the Chitzonius. The Chomas HaLavavus and the Chomas HaYvar. The Haleilu B'Halosha LeHargil. The Chain Kasu B'Fichu Vavcha La'aso So. And that pasuk coming up there in the Chomas HaYvar. The Torah is very close to you in your mouth and in your heart. La'aso So to do it. They point out that part, even as pointed out, again, it sounds like he listened to Chassidus Rebbe here. This is Ibn Ezra, one of the greatest rationalists among the Rishonim, who points out that pasuk is in the course of a single, very tight, concise phrase laying out Dibur, Machshava, and Masa. The three parts of the three areas, the three fields of expression of Hos Hashem. Sometimes it's what you do, sometimes what you say, sometimes it's what you think and feel. Kadmanenu Amr is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Who were you learning Sanhedrin last year? 2 years ago? Anybody learn Masechta Sanhedrin? Davav Aves. Rachmana Liba Boy. Kadosh Baruch Hu cares, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to leave. Vishorish Kol HaMitzos, Adche Yehav Es Hashem Bechol Nafsho, Yidbach Lo. Wow, this is Ibn Ezra speaking. He says the root of all mitzvahs is to develop a love for Bon Shalom. Develop a dvekus, develop to stick, to cleave, to feel connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bezelu yashalim, and let's be honest, says Ibn Ezra. Saying nice words, we all know our heads, of course, yeah. Dvekus and Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avos Hashem is very important. Avos Hashem, so that's not an easy task. To love God. How do you love a God? You can't see, you can't, unless you're a Navi, you can't hear him speak to you directly, you can't touch him. Can't shake his hand. How do you love a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's a pretty tall order. V'zeil yiyashalim lo yakir ma'aseh shen b'yonim u'ashvalim v'yedadracham. How do you think you're actually gonna you shake your head piously? How do you think you're actually gonna have any type of substance opposite of them if you don't come to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu at work b'yonim u'ashvalim, the higher world and down here on planet Earth?
in this universe. The Yehud Racham. And to come to recognize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. The Kachamar Navi. It's a famous pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ki im bezosis halel mishalel. Haskel v'yadoa osi. Right, I said that I believe is at the end of which Haftarah?
Which Haftarah? I believe this is the end of Asof Asifim, which is the Haftarah of Tisha B'Av morning. Most of it is, if you think back, you've heard Asof Asifim, almost the entire Haftarah is laid in Eichanigan. At night, you lay in Eichanigan. In the morning of Tisha B'Av, you lay in most of the Haftarah in Eichanigan. Incredibly sad and depressing. And at the end, almost as this massive shift, and the maftir shifts his drop. And says, "Ayis halachah hamachah masal ayis halagibah v'bros hazel ashir v'ashra." Something like that. I think it's pushed the pasuk. But we say that the chacham, the ashir, the gibor, who also the three people who appear in the parable of us, who is the real chacham, who is the real gibor, who is the real ashir. Yirmiyahu says, "Don't think that your gvura, your osher, your chacham, you're so smart, you're so powerful. You're so wealthy." That's not something to be proud of. That's something to be embarrassed of. But that's not something to really take personal pride in, because you didn't make that. And Kadosh Baruch Hu made you wealthy. Kadosh Baruch Hu made you poor. Kadosh Baruch Hu made you wise or otherwise. And Kadosh Baruch Hu made you powerful or not. So Kiim Bezos Yisalel. You know what you can really be proud of? Haskel V'Yadavosi. Knowledge of Yisrael. Yidiyas Hashem. Yeah. That's what you, and then Paul goes on to say, and then you'll recognize, this is what he reads the pasuk, Ki Hashem osa chesed mishpat v'kav ba'aretz. He says, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the damage from one day, Rambam understands, and balach t'madracha, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to recognize the way he operates in this universe. To notice the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does tzedakah. To care about a country, to have a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to work hard to recognize how it works. Yehidat Racham. Yuchal Da'asa Shem Liyad Anashu Nishmasu V'gufo. And how could you appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu if you don't appreciate yourself? You don't have self-knowledge. Know your body. Know your Nisham. Kikom Yishal Yehidat Mahus Nafsho. Chachmas Malo. Fascinating one. Even as if you don't know who you are, you don't know some poetic. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you are. So, in what way you was? It's lovely that you're a great mathematician. It's marvelous that you write elegant poetry. It's really nice that you're an expert in Sanskrit. But honestly, and the Ibn Ezra goes so far as to say, L'Habdil, it's gewaldic that you know Masechtas by heart. If you don't know yourself,
Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, the ultimate Navi, for 40 whole years. He was Navi before Midbar also, but it was in the Midbar that he rose beyond being just, or maybe he was already in Tzrayim, the time of Mishra Kulachem. He rose beyond the level of just being a great Navi to being Av HaNavim, Adon HaNavim, for 40 years. Oh, but the sodos Rabbi Shmuel Hashem Arsinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed them so much Arsinai, such a deep sodos. Who am I? Lefnei Mosav, and right before he dies, the Chumash Dvarim. Atarachi Los Arosad Abdu Ches God Lucha. Now, the way Ibn Ezra translates, you've begun to show your servant me, Moshe Rabbeinu, your greatness. Atahei Chel Beherelo Gedulas Hashem. Zeh Emes. Kili Dulaso Ein. Recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu's greatness is infinite and ultimately unfathomable in full by human beings. The masterpiece of Nebuchadnezzar in terms of recognizing the breadth and the depth of Chachmas HaTorah. And there's really his question is, what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu teaching Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is, you're fooled. Think all Torah is Kitzur Hanar. Kitzur Hanar is absolutely critical. Let's be very clear. It's one of the
absolutely necessary ingredients in the recipe of a Torah lifestyle. But if you think it's the only ingredient, you know, you can't make challah without flour. But imagine if all you put in was flour. And there are no eggs, there's no sugar, there's no oil. You just took flour and you tried kneading it and putting it up. What would it taste like? Right. Not much. Right? That's not what you're looking for in challah. Even if you like water challah, that's a little bit extreme. Right? He says, of course, ma'isa mitzvah is absolutely critical. But if you think all there is to yadus is ma'isa mitzvah, then you're missing the boat. And if, I would add, if you could only hold in your mind one idea, and you're so narrowly black and white, and so diametric, that it's like, well, either I'm into ma'isa mitzvah, or I'm into lev, well, again, I don't know what your challah tastes like or your challah tastes like, but if you think every recipe only has one ingredient, you're living a very tasteless life. Obviously, things require multiple ingredients. So why would you think of Avodas Hashem, which is the greatest accomplishment in life, and the purpose of creation would be any less? Again, this is not, just to stress, this is not like icing on the cake. This is not what Chumash did. Oh, you want to be an extra machmir, not only should you do what you're supposed to do, but you should also, you know, work on Hashkafa and Avodas Hashem. But just remember, this is basic Judaism. And this is, and to take back to the most elemental form, says, what do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching Moshe ben Har Sinai? And here again, Ibn Ezra never fully answered his, he never fully finished the sentence. But many of you were trained to ask, how does he answer this question? And the question was pretty rhetorical, but the question was the HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching Moshe ben Har Sinai ready? And the answer is, yes, he taught the Tariq Mitzvahs, as well as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, in a sense, self-revealing. In metaphorical terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu how he worked. The famous Vart, the Kedavra Zepeshav, the parents of the Chasim Sofer, I never who said it. Possibly another Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, one of the most mysterious Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, after the whole story of the Egel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareinas Kodecha, can you please, Vaidacha, Mayan Sachet Beinacha, could you please show me your covet so that I'll know you? And what does that kind of problem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Right, you can't see my face. I'm going to stick you here in the cleft of the rock, I'm going to stick you in a little nook in the rock, and I'm going to pass by, and you won't see my face, but you'll see me from behind. So the Gemara says, and the Rajma is one of the Agaritas, and the Rajma discusses in his Chiddushi Rajma's slim volume. He said a Chiddush Rajma al-Shas, the blue set, it was Harukh point that put out, that there's an extra volume called Chiddush Agaritas, which is a Paris Raj wrote on a number of different agatas, more brachas than any other misafta, but a number of agatas throughout Shas. One of the first agatas he talks about, perhaps the first, is the Gemara talks about that. The Gemara says, oh, what's going on? And he showed him the Kesha Shal Tfilin. Passes, he sees him from behind, it's the Tfilin now. Raj works on, what does that mean? So Raj begins to say, I think along these lines, Chasim Sofer says more sharp, more directly, he won't see my face, he'll see me from behind. God doesn't have a body. A face, behind, you can't, there's nothing to see. What does this all mean? So, the famous part, and apparently the Chasim Sofer is one who originally put this down on paper, that it doesn't mean, of course God doesn't have a face. What it means is that if we're walking towards each other, if I'm walking towards 185th Street, you're walking towards 187th Street, walking in opposite directions, so if I see your face, if I can see your face, that means you haven't yet passed me by. If I see, if the part of you I can see is the back of your head, that means obviously you already passed me by, and I'm turning around to see who I can see is the back of your head. So that's what Chasim Sofer explained. This is what Pasuk means. Moshe tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't see me prospectively. You won't be able to see me, quote unquote. You won't be able to understand. Yes, I want to know how you work, so we can do the right thing. We'll be both say, Chayim Ben Hashem, because we messed up. We did not there. So explain to me how you operate. The test says you can't know it in advance. It's frequent that you look at things as events are happening. I don't get it. Okay, I'm a finite human being. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite. So he's dealing with so many factors, an infinite number of factors. Okay. For me to make sense to understand Kodesh Baruch Hu's Kodesh Bonos makes less sense than to think that the ant on the floor there is going to understand the shear that we're giving, and what we're discussing here. Chances? Pretty slim, right? The ant is more similar to us than we are in proportionally, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite. We're fine. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, look, to figure out in advance, when I'm coming towards you, when things are still unfolding, when things are happening, you're often not going to understand. Sometimes you will, often not. But it'll happen that maybe not always, but it'll happen infrequently that even if you couldn't figure out things kodem hamasa, but post facto, when things after events have settled, you'll be able to look back and make sense of what's going on. And Yosef and the brothers and Yaakov, they know what's going on. And after, once they came down to the tribe, they began to make sense of them. So that's a big part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Moshe Rabbeinu Sinai. Yes, the mitzvahs. And yes, in a beginning of an appreciation of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. Derech Hashem. The sefer. The contents of the sefer. But literally, Derech Hashem. That's the language that he uses. And that's a big part of learning Torah. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's necessary in order to, if you're not going to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not going to spend time thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we might do the right things, the right behaviors, but how possibly are we going to have the feelings and even the speech of Avos Hashem if we don't spend time thinking and learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's an absolutely critical, learning Hashkafa, an absolutely critical part of even a Torah. You had a question, you've been waiting very patiently.
Yes, so how are we supposed to have Avos Hashem if the only thing that we're able to really love is what happens after that? Like, it's the things that he does. Like, you're not really loving Hashem, you're loving what he does.
It's hard.
So then how are you ever supposed to love something which you can't perceive or think of? Understand.
So there are two things. It's sometimes presented as a stira, quote unquote. It's hard to say. Many points not really a stira, much as maybe just two pieces of the puzzle, or two answers to the question.
Astira.
What?
Astira.
Astira. Very good. Very clever. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, and he talks about the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. He says, the person can love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't feel him. You can't touch him. You can't see him. The answer is, but you can learn his Torah. You can learn his Chachma, and through that, you'll come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchas Yisodi HaTorah, beginning of Perek Beis, Rama writes, Hey, Achu Aderech La'Avaso, you have a mitzvah of Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, how are you going to do this? His answer is, you have to study his handiwork. Study creation, study science, and study the world, and study physics and metaphysics, then you'll come to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So sometimes it's printed as a stira. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, he says, Torah is a derech to Avos Hashem. In Mishnah Torah, he says, Maz is derech to Avos Hashem. Maz is defined carefully. The answer is, it's hard to say it's a stira. Well, why can't there be more than one way to Avos Hashem? And it's going to need to be really a combination, right? It is a hard mitzvah. And again, it's not something to say I'm going to reach the finish line tomorrow. The mitzvah of Hanachas Tefillin, I could say, tomorrow morning you have to become Hanachas Tefillin. Even that, so you put on Tefillin this morning, you're going to put on Tefillin tomorrow morning. But hopefully, when you're 50 years old, your Hanachas Tefillin will be much more profound than when you're 18 years old. Like you said, there's Maisa, Dibur, Machshava. It might be the same, it could be there'll be Dikdukim the way even the Maisa of Hanachas Tefillin, and certainly, one hopes, that the thought and feeling that goes into tefillin will have grown up and will have deepened. But at least I could say we expect the maisa mitzvah of hanachas tefillin tomorrow morning. But Avos Hashem is a mitzvah. Yeah, it's going to take. It's a process. This could be months and years of development.
But is it ever possible? Like, because you can't.
Apparently
love
so.
Love is finite. Like, you love something, someone, something that isn't beyond.
If it's a mitzvah in the Torah, then apparently it's a doable thing. I think that people do feel it. And over time, you can feel it more deeply. Over time, you can feel it more of the time. Over time, it'll impact your behavior more. Yeah. One last question.
Two parts. One is from what Josh was saying. One's an actual question. So what do you say with Josh? You said that Rambam says one place. What are the two
things? Sefer Mitzvahs, he says that the Derech Tavas Hashem is through Talmud Torah. In Mishnah Torah, he says the Derech Tavas Hashem is through Stein and Kodesh Baruch Hu Griya.
What is it when Hashem is infinite? What is that? Everyone says that, but that doesn't really mean anything, I guess, to me. Like, if you say, okay, we're strong and Hashem is infinitely strong, that's not true either. Hashem doesn't have the attribute of, like, you might say he has the attribute of strength, that's a human attribute too. I think it means, it's a good question, I think it means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is not bounded.
Kodesh Baruch Hu is not limited.
But infinity is limited.
Do you mean in the George Cantor sense, like 19th century mathematics, like there are different infinities? Yeah, alpha not alpha 1, alpha 2?
Right. But I mean, like...
Right, he's not bounded by that either.
But
so you're saying even to use the term infinity is in and of itself a human term that we're using to try to imperfectly capture something about divine reality. Could be. Yes. Okay. Right. Once you think analytically about infinity, so that's already probably itself, ironically, shrinking, as it were, the concept of infinity to something that no longer fully, the term no longer fully captures. Right.
What does Rebbe mean when he says infinite?
Unbounded. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is not limited. Ein Sof, that's the terminology that's used. Our entire, among the first creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were the dimensions of time and space. Kadosh Baruch Hu, in loose terms, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates this box called time and space. But within that box, he creates matter and energy in the whole universe. So, but that box of time and space is in of itself a creature of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say Kadosh Baruch Hu is l'malam and azman, we don't begin to really intuit what that means, but it sort of theoretically makes sense. Kadosh Baruch Hu created time and space. Obviously, he's not bound by them. I can't intuit what that means to be outside of time and space. I've never experienced it. But I can sort of theoretically make sense of that. It makes sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be within the box of time and space. And I know that I am. Everything tangible that I know exists within time and space. All my experiences have been within the realm of time and space. So my intuition is always within time and space, because my intuition is some of my experiences, or is a product of some of my experiences. The Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't that. And it's sort of it makes sense to me. I understand that idea in principle, and I understand why I can't understand in greater detail, because my experiences have been within that, with a box out. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stand outside also is itself an imperfect term. But again, the way we sort of think about it, metaphorically, Kadosh Baruch Hu is outside that box. He creates this box, and within the box he creates the universe. The box doesn't contain him. Nothing can, Kadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited, unbounded. In finite, in the literal sense of the word. Okay.